it is time for you to get in the loop.
And that was PC Patrick Creighton of Area 45 fame. And I'm going to pose the same question to you, Lopez, the question that PC just answered, because he's right. It is game day.
Yeah.
It is a good feeling to just be able to say, we got football today.
Yeah.
But what are we most excited about? Is it an either or is it an and? Are you simply excited about the fact that you get to watch football, or are you actually excited about the football that you're going to get to watch tonight with the Texans playing the Bears in the Hall of Fame game?
I think if any of us are totally being honest, we're excited about what we're going to watch because we're going to get into it. There are players that are going to be significant contributors to the regular season, outcomes for the Texans that are going to play tonight. And we want to see what they do. We want to see how they play. But if I'm being honest, it's just that we're watching football. Come on. It has a little bit of an edge. Like just the fact that we're watching football.
Yeah. So I even came up with this question because Ron challenged me a little bit yesterday when I was on with them. I was on the drive and I was like, yo, I'm excited about this. He's like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not really like you to get excited about a preseason game.
It is now.
And he's correct about that. It is not like me to get excited about a preseason game. And I had to think about it. Am I really excited for the preseason game itself? Or am I just excited about the fact that I get football? And I like PC's answer. I'm going to be honest with you, Lopez. Yeah. I like the and because there is some truth to exactly what you said.
Yeah, there are guys out there that are going to be significant contributors tonight.
And there is an element of, look, I'm just glad that football is back. But to your point of...
By a smidge.
But for us and from a localized lens, from a Texans perspective, okay, I get why, say, if you're in Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Los Angeles, you just name your non-relevant NFL city to tonight, why you might skip this game. If you're not a particular fan of any of the Hall of Famers and you're just not into that, we'll get into Andre Johnson later on in the show. We've got all of these local ties to the game, obviously. If you don't have that, I get why you just might, football, cool, but you're not into these backups and Joe Schmoes and all of that.
Yeah.
But this is something that's going to actually be telling about the Texans football team.
Mm-hmm.
What does their depth look like? We're anticipating that most of the rookies will play. Notice that I said most of the rookies will play. I'm not sure that all of them will play because one of them right now doesn't seem to be treated like a rookie. He seems to be treated more like, if not a vet, certainly an established guy on the team. So
A starter.
So I understand it's just a preseason game, shoulder shrug, but we will get tangible information from this game, I do believe.
No, we absolutely will. And I think the key thing is there are certain areas, and we'll get into this as well in the next segment, that are more significant to watch than others. But when it comes to the actual watching the football, and that's by a smidge would be the bigger where I would side more. I think the entire country is going to do that. Now, maybe not for the whole game, certainly not for the whole game, maybe just a quarter or whatever. But I think people are just going to tune in. That's another great thing about, the fact that this is an Andre Johnson day, this is a Texans day, it's a Caleb Williams day, and the Bears, is eyes are going to be on it even if you have no dog in the fight.
Amended In the Loop schedule today. We are on from noon to 4, leading you up into the Texans pregame show, and couldn't be more excited about it. Coming up at 10:20. Just as soon as I said we got an amended schedule, I was going to give you the regular one. Coming up at 12:20, you don't want to miss the things that we are expecting to learn from tonight's game. But for now, I want to get this from you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you most looking for? Aside from just what you want to learn, what are some of the things that you are most looking forward to just actually seeing on the field? Because I feel like there is a slight difference. I know what I want to learn, and it's a little bit different from what I just flat out want to see.
Yeah, look, I, to me, it's an easy answer, and I know we're going to revisit this, but it's kickoffs. It's just the kickoffs in general. Return, coverage, how's it look? What players, we know because we've been out at camp. What players are going to be more, intricately, intimately involved in that stuff? But beyond the macro thing of the kickoff, I want to see this wide receiver battle, and it's going to be a battle, and it's going to start tonight.
Those are good ones. Those are good ones. The kickoff, my offshoot of your kickoff, I think you actually got to it, was the personnel of it. Like, I feel like once I get to see it in practice, or like actually, like not in practice, but them actually do it, then I'll get a better sense for, hey, who do I think looks, who do I like as a returner most? Hey, is this an opportunity for Damian Pierce to star in a new and different role? Like, maybe it is the case that he's not the greatest running back in this system, or just never quite clicks. But does this rule change with the kickoff create a new possibility or a new identity for one Damian Pierce? It's just kind of a side story that I'm interested in. But the wide receiver group, I got to tell you, Lopez, you and I feel like are in agreement on John Metchie being on this team. That is something that is not really set in stone, though. Like, it's just more of a feeling. And I think John Metchie has an opportunity. I talked about it whenever he wasn't out there, whenever he had a couple of days where they held him out.
Yeah.
I feel like John Metchie does actually have to go out there and show something. Who are like players that have something to gain or lose from how they perform out there today? John Metchie, for me, is like front of mind. Somebody that we talked to earlier in the week, somebody that we're rooting for, I think, for obvious reasons, but is not guaranteed a spot on this team as much as I'm penciling them in. It is in pencil, it's not in pen.
I think Metchie is the answer on the offensive side of the ball, and then here's the other part that I'm going to be keenly aware of and watching, and that is the tight ends. Like, the tight ends at this point, to me, it's almost like an open, you know, it's an open competition, wide open behind Dalton Schultz. We've seen Brevin Jordan, you know, flash a little bit, as coaches like to say. We've seen Cade Stover. I think in the last practice, Cade Stover had a great practice. What was that, Tuesday?
Tuesday was our last day out there.
Yeah, and then Tegan Quatoriano. The tight ends are going to be fun to watch.
So Tegan Quatoriano is the biggest question mark in the room for me. So I'm fascinated by what the answer is going to be.
Yeah.
I can't even pretend to be able to tell you right now what is Tegan Quatoriano going to actually offer you, because the guy can't stay healthy. We feel like he could be their most well-rounded tight end. He's got this ability to both block. He's huge.
Yeah.
Got this ability to both block and go out there and catch some passes for you, be a factor at the very least in the passing game. But as far as the tight end group goes for me, Lopez, Tegan Quatoriano is the biggest question mark. But the most intriguing aspect of it, the most important player is obviously Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
But the most intriguing one is Cade Stover.
Yes.
Like, how good is Cade Stover? Watched him at Ohio State. Obviously, he's got the relationship with C.J. Stroud. And everybody is so high on him for, you know, some of these intangible reasons of, like, the work ethic, the farmer's background, and just all of these other things that don't necessarily mean that he's going to be a great tight end.
Yeah, or
that
cool
he's,
story.
Yeah, no, all of it is great.
cool story.
And it also feels like the makings of, or the ingredients of, a damn good football player.
Yeah.
Especially a tight end. But I want to see that play out in a game, in a preseason game. What does Cade Stover offer you with Davis Mills, by the way, throwing him the ball? I understand that. But what can you discern from that? What can you pull from that? Hey, if Cade Stover's out there making plays with Davis Mills, I fully expect him to be a factor once C.J. Stroud's out there on the field.
No, I think that, you know, all of them. Cade Stover's probably at the top of the list because he's the rookie. But all of Quatoriano is playing for a job big time. I mean, he just flat out is. And we'll have to see about what he can do. But he's done some things in the regular season, like I said.
Should Kamari Lassiter play? I'm asking both of you this. Chris Santiago in for Figgy Fig. John Lopez holding it down here on In the Loop. It is game day, folks. Get hype. Should Kamari Lassiter play? He is, I think, situated a little differently from all the other rookies we talk about, because for the longest now, it seems like not just anointed per se, but it seems like he's earned that spot as the cornerback opposite of Derek Stingley. But he is a rookie.
Yeah.
He ain't played in the NFL yet, not a single down. So how would you, if you were in charge, how would you handle Kamari Lassiter? Would you play him, or would you say, hey, you know, I can wait to one of, this is an extra preseason game, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So would you just wait until one of these others?
I'm glad you asked how I would play it, because what I would do is I don't care if he knows he's the starter and he knows he's going to get reps in game two, game three of the preseason, etc. He's chomping at the bit to get out there. He's a rookie, man. He's a rookie. He's been through camp. This is going to be in a stadium, real fans, real opponent, real lights, you know, and his first taste of the NFL. Here's how I'd play it. I'd sit down with Kamari Lassiter and I'd tell him, if you want to play, we'll play you a series. Just so he can get, because you know they're chomping at the bit. We've referenced Andy Kalu a couple of times. When you're trying to make the squad, this is like a Super Bowl. Well, he's made the squad.
He's on the squad.
He's probably a starter. We know that. But I think he's just like, think about it. Put yourself in his shoes. Your entire life has been for this one moment. And it's not a regular season game. It doesn't even count in the stats. You know, or it's nothing. Your career will not be defined by this. But you are busting at the seams trying to get on a field in an NFL uniform. I'd play him one series.
So,
if he wants to.
Where are you at on this, Santiago?
Man, I feel like Lopez just said it perfectly. A series, and it's just like, yo, this is his first game, technically.
Yeah.
Just like, get the jitters out. You know, I mean, it's not really like NFL, like first game, but it's still, you know, his first game. So, get the jitters out, go out there, play a series, and let's see what happens, man.
I understand that he's a competitor, but follow me on this. I would want to, like, for me, I would want to go out there. Obviously, Kamari Lassiter probably wants to go up against the starters. If he's going to be a starter, mm-hmm. it makes sense for him to not play if the starters are not playing. I get that. But as a rookie, you mentioned this, Santiago, about jitters. I want to get it out of the way of, let me get this practice run in on the Bears, like, hapless wide receivers, the guys that may or may not make the team, the ones we don't know. Not Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Roma Dunze. Not those cats, but whoever the hell else is on that, you know, I don't know if Dante Pettis is still there, but they got, like, some randos on. I would want to get it out of the way if I'm Kamari Lassiter against those guys. Shut them down. Want to put out some good tape against those guys before I actually take. Because when he goes out there, he's not going to play today, by the way. I do not think he is.
You don't think
Kamari Lassiter is going to play. I think he's going to be the only rookie that doesn't. I could be wrong.
Not even a series?
I'd
give him a series, man.
Yeah, I would too. So let me amend this. I would play him.
Yeah.
If I was in charge, I'm with y'all. I would play him. I don't anticipate that he'll play. But if I were him, I would want to get out there, again, knock the dust off, rust off, jitters out, whatever cliche you want to use. I would want to get that out of the way before the ones-on-ones. Do you understand what I'm saying? With him being a starter, whenever he does actually play, like, there's going to be a moment where it's going to be mano-a-mano, ones versus ones, and I'd want to get this one out of the way first. At least see how it plays against the schmucks before I go against the real dudes.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with that.
I totally agree.
So, let's not bury the lead. I know we've gotten 13 minutes into this segment without really mentioning it. I think we might have barely mentioned it. But this is really a night in the next couple of days about Andre Johnson. Right? Like, let's not pretend like anything that happens in this preseason game, anything that happens in this Hall of Fame game, is more significant than Andre Johnson's induction in the Hall. Really, all the Hall of Famers that are going in there, I would say if you're going to the Hall of Fame, you are more significant than the actual Hall of Fame game itself, you know, a meaningless game. But Andre Johnson, for our purposes, more specifically, getting his flowers, getting his recognition, I am the only regret that I have, and I'm proud to be here with y'all, the only regret that I have is that I won't be able to be there and watch it for myself. But I'm so happy for Dre, and this is a huge moment for us in Houston sports, the moment and the history of it.
It's a moment for the city. And let's not get this twisted by any stretch, because I'm so glad you brought that up. And we're going to dig in deeper at 11 o'clock on Andre Johnson, and you do not want to miss it. But let's be very clear about this. The Texans are in this game because of Andre Johnson. The Texans became a relevant organization because of Andre Johnson. The Texans earned their first division playoff berth, their first playoff win, because of Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson is, some would argue, and I think fairly, more than fairly, that he no longer is the greatest player to ever put on a Texans uniform. That belongs to J.J. Watt, who will be in the Hall of Fame soon. But Andre Johnson is the pioneer, so to speak, with all due respect to Bob McNair. But in terms of on the field, he is the pioneer of Texans football. So why are we all so excited? Why are we all, you know, here in this moment? Why are we sending entire crews of shows to Canton, Ohio to embrace this moment and this game? It's because of Andre Johnson. And so that's why, again, you don't want to miss it at 11. We'll really do it upright, so to speak. But I'm glad you brought that up. This is an Andre Johnson weekend before any of the backup tight ends, any of the backup receivers, any of the players who might, you know, impress and go to the get on the roster. This is an Andre Johnson moment.
So I've been anticipating this. We've made some references to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And this is far from the Super Bowl. But the analogy is for some players, for some guys, this is their Super Bowl. For me, man, I have been anticipating this moment ever since the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And what I'm talking about is Radio Row, honestly. The week leading up to Super Bowl, when you get Will Anderson Jr. and C.J. Stroud get the Rookie of the Year awards, respectively, on their respective sides of the ball, mm-hmm. and you find out that Andre Johnson is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, this is now, and we knew Andre Johnson was going to make it at some point, but this is now 6 months anticipation in the making of like, hey, it's finally here. I love the fact that Andre Johnson didn't have to wait till he was an old man to finally get his flowers. And, oh, by the way, I brought this up yesterday, the timing of it all. Mm-hmm. They are here because of Andre Johnson, I agree. But I think it is a perfect marriage of past, present, and future.
Yes.
Like, they're here because of Andre Johnson, but it works perfectly to put them in the game specifically.
Oh, yeah.
When they've got C.J. Stroud, who's not playing today, obviously. When they've got Will Anderson, who's not playing today, obviously. But, oh, they've also got D'Amico Ryans, who mm-hmm. is coaching tonight, who did play with Andre Johnson. It is going to be, for me, a coronation of Houston football sports history to me. I can't wait.
The entire Texans team is going to stay up there and work out for a week. But on Saturday, the entire Houston Texans will be at the induction. Everybody on the squad. That says all you need to know right there.
Yeah, and just the respect that Andre's been around, by the way. Like every day at training camp that I've been there, I've spotted Andre, who I've mentioned countless times, is as regular of a guy as you'll find to be of that stature. Can't wait, to see him get his flowers, well-deserved. And, yeah, man. Get hype. Even if you're not excited about the game, I'll point this out, Lopez. Even if you're not excited about the game, even if you're not excited about the football, even if I can't hype you up to want to watch preseason, you should be. If you're a Houston Texans fan, if you're a Houston sports fan, you should absolutely be excited about what's happening for Andre Johnson this week. It is a great thing. He is John Lopez. I'm Brandon Scott. Chris Santiago is holding things down for us. And coming up next, three things that we are expecting to learn from tonight's game. That's on Sports Radio 610.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go.
Go to work.
Let's go.
A-Town.
Sports Radio 610.
The things that we want to learn tonight. I don't want to hear nothing about how it's just a preseason game, how it's meaningless football.
Yeah, it's just a preseason game.
Hey, I don't want to hear none of that. I know that already, man. I know that this doesn't actually count on the record.
Damn.
I understand that you don't go to the Super Bowl based off of what you do in the Hall of Fame game at that. I'm not trying to overstate or overvalue this game. I want to put it in its proper context. And to me, Lopez, Santiago.
Santiago's already stirring the pot over
there, man. I'm just going to let you know. To me, this is an educational exercise, a learning exhibition to me is what tonight is supposed to be. You are supposed to learn more about your Houston Texans squad. And so I pose the question, and we'll have the discussion right here, right now, Lopez. What are we expecting to learn from tonight's game? When we come back here and do this show again tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
In the loop, it'll be back on its regular scheduled program in 10 to 2. When we do that, what do we want to be talking about in terms of what we want to learn from this experience tonight?
Hell, I'll tell you what we're going to be talking about.
Tell me.
Flat out. Tomorrow's news today, baby. I'm going to give you tomorrow's news today.
That's why I like to be ahead of it. Because let's be ahead of the curve in the loop.
Here's what you need to know. And if you're going to watch today's game and you're like, okay, what does it really mean? I'll give you three areas. I'll give you three spots where legitimately this isn't, you know, overhyping or looking for something that's not there. There are legitimately three areas where we will find out a lot about some of the things and some of the players that are going to be integral in the regular season. Here's the first one, and this is a rather big one, if we're being honest. Running game. The running game, we're going to find out. First of all, Dameon Pierce reportedly is actually going to play. Dameon Pierce is going to be one of the biggest stories of the 2024 season. So if you don't think people are going to be watching that, people that matter in the building are going to be watching. Now, maybe he'll just do kickoffs, but I think he's going to run at least a couple of series or a series in the backfield. I mean, Dameon Pierce is going to be a big part of what the Texans do this year. So there's one. And then behind him, you have you obviously have, you know, some players that are going to be vying. You know, we haven't seen a whole lot of Cam Akers. Dare Ogunbowale, he'll probably play. And then the two rookies, Juwan Jordan and British Brooks. So, yeah, like, absolutely. The running game tonight is something to absolutely watch. And one other little addition to that, a little add-on, so to speak, is I think we're going to see Blake Fisher. I think Blake Fisher as a rookie is going to play. He's a swing tackle that could well be starting by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. Well, man, that is the boldest statement that we've come up with.
I said could well be.
He could be, but yeah. If he is, that means that something went drastically wrong.
Right. We also might see Kenyon Green.
That is interesting. I don't think we see Kenyon Green.
I don't know, man.
I would be surprised if we see Kenyon Green.
He's got a lot to prove.
Again, there's a difference between what we will see and what I would do if I ruled the world. I've been on the record with this one.
Yeah.
I would play Kenyon Green. Mm-hmm. I want to see Kenyon Green play tonight. Anytime that the Texans play or have an opportunity to play, and so long as he's healthy and ready to go, I want to see him play. Yeah. He has not, to me, earned the spot of, even if he's earned the top spot in the rotation or the depth chart, I should say.
Yeah.
Even if he is their starting left guard in name right now, and they want to hold their starters out, he is one I would make the exception for, because I think, hey, look, you haven't played football in a year. The last time that you did play, it was up and down.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see, really just as a spectator, I want to see what that looks like. But even if I was an evaluator, somebody actually on the team trying to decide or be sure if that's going to be my starting left guard, I'd like to see him play. I would be surprised if he did, though.
I wouldn't be that surprised. I really wouldn't. With so much to prove, so many people basically calling him out, including the head coach and the general manager, although he's in the starting lineup. As I've often said, they're not doing him any favors. He's earned that, but I think he's got a lot to prove. And then the Bears defensive front against the Texans running game, they drafted a rookie. So he's going to play on their defensive front.
Yeah.
They bolstered their defensive front with some additions. So it's going to be the Texans running game against a good defensive front, or at least one that is going to be playing on Sundays in the regular season. So we're going to be talking about the running game tomorrow. I promise you.
So to your point about Dameon Pierce in the running game, this is one I am absolutely looking forward to.
Yeah.
Because, look, we already knew Joe Mixon wasn't going to play. He's barely been practicing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the only one in that room who you would say doesn't need to play, or who you don't need to see anything from. Now, Dare Ogunbowale, I actually view this way as well, because, like, I mean, I feel like he's a known commodity.
You know what he's going to be.
We know what he is. He's a backup running back, and he is a special teams, a valuable special teams player. So, like, he's probably the one I'm least looking forward to. But literally everybody else in the room, obviously know Joe Mixon. Dare Ogunbowale, we know what he is. But Dameon Pierce, comeback season, like, I'm not sure if just based off of this game we're going to be able to say it's Dameon Pierce comeback season.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me you're a Texans fan and don't want to see Dameon Pierce run the rock tonight.
Exactly.
Like, that would be weird to me.
Yeah.
If you are a Texans fan and you saw what kind of season Dameon Pierce had as a rookie and then followed that up with the season that he had last year, you saw all of it, and he's still on the team, you're expecting him to be somewhere in your running back rotation.
Yeah.
You cannot convince me that you don't want to watch Dameon Pierce run the rock.
Absolutely.
And then beyond that, Lopez, these rookies, Everybody else that's on Dameon Pierce's heels, the fact that we're not even sure if Dameon Pierce is for sure going to be the backup running back, who else might that be?
Sure.
Who else is a candidate for that role if not Dameon Pierce? We think Jawar Jordan's got a chance. We like British Brooks saying his name, the fact that texters and Texans Reddit and all the deep pockets of Texan social media, internet, are just wanting to know about British Brooks, so we want to tell you about him.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
Tonight we actually get to see them in NFL action, albeit against second and third stringers, but you'll actually get to see these cats run the rock. To me, that is going to be instructive, informative, and I can't wait to talk about it tomorrow based on whatever we see.
We will be. Tomorrow's news today, here's another one for you. And I think this is another big one that fans are going to be keenly watching. And I mentioned it in the first segment, but I think I want to elaborate on it, and that's the kickoffs. I think because it's so new, because they want to see how it plays out, I think we're going to see 80%, maybe 90% of the starting kickoff team and kickoff return team. Dameon Pierce is on that. Steven Sims is on that, at least from what we've seen in practice. And so I think the kickoffs are going to be legitimately something that we can start to cull some nuggets of information or some opinion. I had one other little thought here on the kickoffs, and it's not going to happen necessarily today, but I think the preseason is going to determine or at least factor into this. By the regular season, are we going to have more people not deferring the coin toss? Because let's think about this. If you are a kickoff team that consistently gets the ball to the 35-yard line, the 40-yard line, which people are projecting, wouldn't you want the ball first?
Maybe.
I would. So if you go three and out, you're punting them deep into their own territory.
But the whole logic in not getting
is
the ball first
is you got the momentum, second half, that stuff.
Because
you can double up at the end of the first half,
right?
You know, I get it.
So that's that part of it doesn't actually change.
But would you take that over a 7-0 lead?
Yeah, I've always thought that I want the ball first, but I just have had to accept that I'm wrong on that because the NFL has reached pretty much a consensus on that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just kind of just, like, you know, allowed that
to
be.
The old Bill Belichick thing. Score at the end of the second quarter and then get the ball at the start of the third quarter and put them away.
I'm with you. Look, I always want the ball.
I
want the ball.
But if the Texans have a good return team or any NFL team has a good return team and they're consistently going between the 35 and 40-yard line, as soon as they touch the ball for the first time,
yeah,
I want the ball.
Yeah, so it's like
I want the ball.
If they are, but I see your logic here. If the kickoff return based on the new rules is now a weapon for them,
yeah,
or they're like particularly good at it, then no, I don't want to give them the ball. I'm not. Yeah. I don't want to make it like but you don't want to give the ball to Patrick Mahomes. You don't want to kick it to Devin Hester.
Anyone.
And I'm not saying that that's what this is.
You could also fall behind early.
Yeah, but if it is a strength of their team and just the fact that the kickoff, I think the fact that the kickoff is just not a throwaway play anymore.
Yeah, makes you think about it.
Even makes it more of a thing or more of a thought. I'm with you on that.
And then the last thing that tomorrow's news today, I feel we need to be watching closely and will be, a big thing tonight, and we mentioned in the first segment, but the receivers. I don't expect Noah Brown to play, Robert Woods to play, or any of the starters. Well, that's five dudes that aren't going to play. That means that the next dudes are going to get a lot of reps. That's Mechie. That's Xavier Hutchinson. That's, you know, Skoranek. All these guys, that's going to be fun to watch.
Hutchinson
today.
Podium game, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
Xavier Hutchinson podium game. Yeah. You don't want to miss it. John Lopez, Brandon Scott, Chris Santiago holding things down here on In the Loop. Man, I'm ready for game
day. I am,
man.
Ready.
I am here, absolutely. Coming up next on In the Loop, the Astros won last night on a big doobie hit.
A what?
We will a huge doobie hit.
Wow.
And we will discuss that next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
So the Astros avoided the sweep last night against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Obviously, they had lost the first couple of games. Framber Valdez on the mound last night. Not great. Wouldn't say he was great. But, you know, you gotta take the peaks and valleys with the Framber experience. I feel like as Astros observers, fans, media, we come to expect this.
Yeah.
Come to learn this.
That was his career in one outing. Like, hey, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. 4-run inning. Yeah. Oh, no, he's pretty good. Like, it's back and forth.
You could call it the quintessential Framber Valdez experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Was he good?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Kind of.
Mostly.
My biggest thing with Framber, and this is the issue, is that I just don't find him trustworthy. He's got all the ability in the world. Talented as hell.
Yeah.
Accomplished, you know, World Series pitcher. He's done a lot. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm bleeping on Framber, but the dude this year just does not feel trustworthy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to feel that way until he gives me a reason to trust him more. So that's part of the story from last night. But I'll give you another one for me, Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give some love to Joe Espada.
Oh, no, he did the right thing.
Dude, we were critical of him early on in the season.
Yeah.
And really just the Astros themselves just felt like they were overwhelmed. Not just Joe, mm-hmm. but the team overall.
And they'd been kind of scuffling.
Well, yeah, and because they were scuffling, it just felt like they were in over their head.
Yeah.
And Joe Espada, as the manager, unfortunately for him, is kind of the face of it.
Yeah.
You know, he's included in it, but he's not necessarily all of it.
Yeah.
But he had to be the face of it and wear it for so long. Last night,
mm-hmm.
pinch hitting Mauricio Dubon.
Yeah.
For John Singleton, and Mauricio Dubon promptly going out there.
Makes them change pitchers.
Yes.
Makes them go from lefty to righty.
Makes them go from lefty to righty, and then it not mattering.
Yeah.
Because Doobie was ready to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me was the highlight of the game. I mean, obviously it wins them the game, but Joe Espada pushing the right buttons in a game that we're not going to say they had to win, but we would have been pretty down today if they had gone out there. Yeah, 4 in a row and a sweep at home.
Yeah.
Not a good look. So, so credit to the Astros for salvaging this, specifically Joe Espada's decision and the Doobie hit at the end.
Yeah, I would call that an all's well that ends well kind of game.
Sure.
You know, it was like, that 4-run inning was not exactly ideal. The Pirates are a good squad, and I think they're going to be around for a little bit. And then you've got Joe Espada, who has consistently gone to his bench, as you hear Adam Spillane often say, and did it in the right moment, got the hit, they win, etc. And so, it was a kind of an all's well that ends well win.
You don't trust Framber either, do you?
I don't.
I'm not crazy for this.
No, I don't think he's bad, but I don't trust
him. No, he's
him.
Not bad. He's excellent.
Yeah,
I don't trust him. He is. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Like, if he was just bad, well, we would know. Yeah, obviously we wouldn't trust him, but we wouldn't even have the conversation. We'd just be like, man, hopefully we get through that.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that he can show you brilliance. He can show you these flashes, but also you know what the experience is about.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that I'm wrong for that, but... Hey, you're going to have to ride or die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trust or no trust, you're going to have to ride or die.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have a lot of choices.
What about the actual news of the day for the Astros before we even got to the game?
Mm-hmm.
Rafael Montero. Like, can we RIP now? Can we RIP now the 2023 offseason?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the offseason in which they operate without a general manager. The offseason going into the 2023 season, where they don't bring back their general manager, James Click. They operate for 6 weeks, almost 2 months, however long it was, without a general manager, with essentially Jim Crane and friends sort of running the show,
mm-hmm.
in which time they signed Jose Abreu.
Yeah.
2 or 3 year deal, paying him close to $20 million a year. And then they signed Rafael Montero to a 3-year deal, paying him $11.5 million a year. Neither guy on the team anymore.
Rafael Montero DFA'd, which is a baseball nice way of saying cut. You know, released. But you mentioned we can't trust Framber Valdez. Here's the bigger question, and I think this is the most important one.
Uh-oh.
Can Jim Crane trust Jeff Bagwell? Or Reggie Jackson? Because, like, what really, you know, matters to these guys, these owners? You're costing me money, man. Like, I know they got a bleep ton of money, but look at the money that he burned on Jose Abreu. Look at the money that he burned on Rafael Montero. when Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson, especially it seems like Jeff Bagwell was making the calls. That speaks the Jim Crane language. That, you know, he understands, okay, you're costing me money now.
So you asked a different question than the one I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
You said, can Jim Crane trust Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson? I thought you were going to ask if we could trust Jim Crane, the best owner in Houston sports, because I feel like it's a legitimate question.
Oh, sure.
Even though both things are true. Like, mm-hmm. there's an issue here, and he's the best owner in Houston sports history. Like, how do we reconcile that?
Yeah.
Like, the best with, and I think it's a similar question for Jim.
Mm-hmm.
With the one that you posed.
But you know how you get my attention? You waste a lot of my money.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, you waste a lot of my money.
How would y'all handle that?
Yeah. If, shout out to my kids.
But this is, see, but those are your kids.
Yeah.
I expect to throw away a lot of money on my kids. Yeah. I was just literally having this conversation with my mother this morning about just all kind of stuff. All kind of money wasted on these three children, especially having two girls.
Yeah.
But how would you feel if your closest confidants in this context, like the people that you trust the most, and we understand why, like, mm-hmm. before these deals happen, before the disaster that is Jose Abreu, before the disaster that is Rafael Montero, you could understand why Jim Crane would create a brain trust, you know, about baseball that includes Jeff Bagwell, Reggie Jackson, Craig Biggio, you're like Enos Cabell. You're like, okay, yeah, no, those are some heavy hitters. Those are some real baseball dudes.
Yeah.
How would you reconcile that? How would you feel if this trusted circle of experts mm-hmm. led you astray in this way? Like,
flat out, I'm telling you, I would start to question if I can ever trust them. You know, you can talk about the back of their baseball cards all you want, and your affection for them, your love for them, which I do. I think I've often said Jeff Bagwell's my favorite Astro, even though there's better ones now in Jose Altuve, but he's still my favorite Astro.
Agreed. Same, by the way.
But you look at the backs of their baseball cards. What it doesn't say on the backs of their baseball cards is general manager. It doesn't say anything about they've been personnel guys. Like, they know how this works. And so that's why if I'm Jim Crane, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to trust you anymore. I may have to trust either myself, which often can be the case, or Dana Brown. Speaking of Dana Brown, like, this kind of drove me crazy. It's like one of those low key things that this just kind of drove me nuts. We know the Astros lie a lot. You know, they bend the truth. We know they say a bunch of stuff that is, you know, they're looking you straight in the face, and you know that's not going to be the case. So they DFA'd Rafael Montero. And then he sat there and took questions. Well, let's hear it first.
Hope and vision that he would accept the assignment and go to AAA and try to regain the status that he had, you know, in 2022. You know, Montero's been really good for this organization. He's got a lot of family in this clubhouse and friends, and a big part of it is that we hope that he goes down to AAA and kind of refines himself and get back to that status of being really good. So, I mean, with that said, I'll take any questions you guys may have.
Just to clarify, has he accepted the assignment to AAA?
No, I mean, he said he was going to talk to his wife and he's going to talk to his agent, but he was very open and optimistic. And, the conversation was great, and he, you know, he talked about how much fun and how much family he feel like he has here, and so we feel optimistic that he's probably going to accept it.
All right, that's good, Chris. Yeah, cool story. Yeah, hey, Rafa. We're going to go ahead and release you, but hope you go to AAA. By the way, you got to clear waivers.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to take a flyer on him and take that assignment.
How about the fact that the money is still in the bank?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what if they come in here and say,
you can, what, 11 and a half a year?
Hey, B. Scott, look, man, we're going to pay you the same. We don't want you on 610 anymore. We want you to go do radio, and we want you to do something with our station in – Beaumont.
Yeah.
Or like, you know what I mean? Like a lesser thing. Yeah. But you're going to get paid the same no matter what you do.
Oh, I am?
I'm going to say, you know what? Let me go talk to my
Let me go talk to my family about this. I'm very optimistic, by the
and
way.
Then,
let me think about it.
And then I leave you on red. Like forever. Forever. The money is in the bank. What the hell is he talking about?
If he takes it, kudos to him. But I don't see that happening. I think someone's going to take him on waivers or he's going to say, peace. Peace.
Dude.
Yeah.
You know what split screen I want,
mm-hmm.
or would have liked? I guess I can't get it now. I would have liked a split screen on any time you heard that back of the baseball card nonsense from either Bagwell or I think a spotter threw it out there once.
Yeah, he did.
If I could get the split screen of that and like Jeff Luhnow, you know, like Jeff Luhnow, who understood and really just that whole regime understood the value of the analytics and how it just. Like, the information goes so far beyond the back of the damn baseball card.
Yeah.
And how, like, basic of a statement that is. I wish I could have seen their faces. You know, just the whole Luhnow regime. Just him and his guys and his folks in a room, like.
Yeah.
Analytically driven, smart as a whip. You know, changed the game in a lot of ways and how teams, like, actually do these things. And they hear a legend up there talking about the back of a baseball
card.
Come
on, man.
It's like, bro.
Come on.
Come on, bro. This is not how we gather information.
Hey, you know
these
who's starting
days.
Tomorrow, don't you?
Hey, let me ask y'all this.
Yeah, your guy.
Do y'all think the Kikuchi's going to be good tomorrow night?
Yo, it's going to be good.
It's the Rays.
The Rays are decent.
They're all right.
They're all right. So you say Kikuchi. Do I think the Kikuchi's going to be good tomorrow night?
Like when we come in here tomorrow,
yeah,
or I should say when we come in here next week, are we going to be like, man,
that was some good Kikuchi.
That was some good Kikuchi on Friday night.
Yeah.
Are we?
I don't know if there's any bad.
Lopez has lived a good life, bro. Lopez has lived a good life because I can tell you for sure.
Yeah, that there is.
Oh, yeah. There he is for sure.
Let me tell you something about Yusei Kikuchi starting tomorrow night. It's just an observation. It's not that meaningful, but it's just an observation. None of this is his fault. I mean, I feel bad for the dude. Little mini confession here. I feel bad for him because it's Dana Brown. It's what they gave up. It's like not exactly what we were anticipating. None of it is his fault. Nevertheless, I'd kind of want to make my first start on the road. I'd kind of want to just to like establish yourself.
Well, especially if you pitch at Minute Maid Park.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
On a Friday, too.
On a Friday.
Ugh.
There will be fireworks.
Fireworks.
One way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll see if the Kikuchi's the reason why.
Yeah.
We'll see if the Kikuchi brings fireworks.
Yeah.
It will be fun. In the loop here. Game day. Speaking of which, this is about Andre Johnson. We are not going to lose sight of that. We'll give the man his flowers and relive some key Andre Johnson moments next here on In the Loop.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
So the Astros avoided the sweep last night against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Obviously, they had lost the first couple of games. Framber Valdez on the mound last night. Not great. Wouldn't say he was great. But, you know, you gotta take the peaks and valleys with the Framber experience. I feel like as Astros observers, fans, media, we come to expect this.
Yeah.
Come to learn this.
That was his career in one outing. Like, hey, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, four-run inning. Yeah. Oh, no, he's pretty good. Like, it's back and forth.
You could call it the quintessential Framber Valdez experience.
Yeah, yeah. Was he good?
Yeah.
Kind of. Mostly.
My biggest thing with Framber, and this is the issue, is that I just don't find him trustworthy. He's got all the ability in the world. Talented as hell.
Yeah.
Accomplished. You know, World Series pitcher, he's done a lot. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm bleeping on Framber, but the dude this year just does not feel trustworthy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to feel that way until he gives me a reason to trust him more. So that's part of the story from last night. But I'll give you another one for me, Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give some love to Joe Espada.
Oh no, he did a good. He did the right thing,
dude. We were critical of him early on in the season.
Yeah,
and really, just the Astros themselves just felt like they were overwhelmed. Not just Joe, but the team overall.
And they'd been kind of scuffling.
Well, yeah, and because they were scuffling, it just felt like they were in over their head.
Yeah.
And Joe Espada, as the manager, unfortunately for him, is kind of the face of it.
Yeah.
You know, he's included in it, but he's not necessarily all of it.
Yeah.
But he had to be the face of it and wear it for so long. Last night, pinch hitting Mauricio Dubon for John Singleton. And Mauricio Dubon promptly going out there.
Makes them change pitchers.
Yes.
Makes them go from lefty to righty.
Makes them go from lefty to righty, and then it not mattering.
Yeah.
Because Doobie was ready to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me was the highlight of the game. I mean, obviously it wins them the game, but Joe Espada pushing the right buttons in a game that we're not going to say they had to win, but we would have been pretty down today if they had gone out there. Yeah, four in a row and a sweep at home.
Yeah.
Not a good look. So, so credit to the Astros for salvaging this, specifically Joe Espada's decision and the Doobie hit at the end.
Yeah, I would call that an all's well that ends well kind of game.
Sure.
You know, it was like, that four-run inning was not exactly ideal. The Pirates are a good squad, and I think they're going to be around for a little bit. And then you've got Joe Espada, who has consistently gone to his bench, as you hear Adam Spillane often say, and did it in the right moment, got the hit, they win, etc. And so, it was kind of an all's well that ends well win.
You don't trust Fromber either, do you?
I don't.
I'm not crazy for this.
No, I don't think he's bad, but I don't trust
him. No, he's not bad. He's excellent.
Yeah,
I just don't trust him. He is. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Like, if he was just bad, well, we would know. Yeah, obviously we wouldn't trust him, but we wouldn't even have the conversation. We'd just be like, man, hopefully we get through that.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that he can show you brilliance. He can show you these flashes, but also you know what the experience is about.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that I'm wrong for that, but... Hey, you're going to have to ride or die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trust or no trust, you're going to have to ride or die.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have a lot of choices.
What about the actual news of the day for the Astros before we even got to the game?
Mm-hmm.
Rafael Montero. Like, can we RIP now? Can we RIP now the 2023 offseason?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the offseason in which they operate without a general manager. So the offseason going into the 2023 season, where they don't bring back their general manager, James Click. They operate for 6 weeks, almost 2 months, however long it was, without a general manager, with essentially Jim Crane and friends sort of running the show, in which time they sign Jose Abreu to a three-year deal, paying him close to $20 million a year. And then they signed Rafael Montero to a three-year deal, paying him $11.5 million a year. Neither guy on the team anymore.
Rafael Montero DFA'd, which is a baseball nice way of saying cut, you know, released. But you mentioned we can't trust Framber Valdez. Here's the bigger question, and I think this is the most important one.
Uh-oh.
Can Jim Crane trust Jeff Bagwell? Or Reggie Jackson? Because, like, what really, you know, matters to these guys, these owners? You're costing me money, man. Like, I know they got a bleep ton of money, but look at the money that he burned on Jose Abreu. Look at the money that he burned on Rafael Montero when Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson, especially it seems like Jeff Bagwell, were making the calls. That speaks the Jim Crane language. That, you know, he understands, okay, you're costing me money now.
So you asked a different question than the one I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
You said, can Jim Crane trust Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson? I thought you were going to ask if we could trust Jim Crane, the best owner in Houston sports, because I feel like it's a legitimate question.
Oh, sure.
Even though both things are true. Like, there's an issue here, and he's the best owner in Houston sports history. Like, how do we reconcile that?
Yeah.
Like, the best with... And I think it's a similar question for Jim.
Mm-hmm.
with the one that you posed.
But you know how you get my attention? You waste a lot of my money.
What? That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, you waste a lot of my money.
How would y'all handle that?
Yeah. If shout out to my kids.
But this is, see, but those are your kids. Yeah. I expect to throw away a lot of money on my kids. Yeah. I was just literally having this conversation with my mother this morning about just all kind of stuff, all kind of money wasted on these three children, especially having two girls.
Yeah.
But how would you feel if your closest confidants in this context, like the people that you trust the most, and we understand why, like before these deals happen, before the disaster that is Jose Abreu, before the disaster that is Rafael Montero, you could understand why Jim Crane would create a brain trust, you know, about baseball that includes Jeff Bagwell, Reggie Jackson, Craig Biggio, you're like Enos Cabell. You're like, okay, yeah, no, those those are some heavy hitters. Those are some real baseball dudes.
Yeah.
How would you reconcile that? How would you feel if this trusted circle of experts led you astray in this way? Like
flat out, I'm telling you, I would start to question if I can ever trust them. You know, you can talk about the back of their baseball cards all you want, and your affection for them, your love for them, which I do. I think I've often said Jeff Bagwell's my favorite Astro, even though there's better ones now in Jose Altuve, but he's still my favorite Astro.
Agreed. Same, by the way.
But you look at the backs of their baseball cards, what it doesn't say on the backs of their baseball cards is general manager. It doesn't say anything about they've been personnel guys. Like, they know how this works. And so that's why if I'm Jim Crane, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to trust you anymore. I may have to trust either myself, which often can be the case, or Dana Brown. Speaking of Dana Brown, like this kind of drove me crazy. It's like one of those low-key things that just kind of drove me nuts. We know the Astros lie a lot. You know, they bend the truth. We know they say a bunch of stuff that is, you know, they're looking you straight in the face, and you know that's not going to be the case. So they DFA'd Rafael Montero. And then he sat there and took questions. Well, let's hear it first.
Hope and vision that he would accept the assignment and go to AAA and try to regain the status that he had, you know, in 2022. You know, Montero's been really good for this organization. He's got a lot of family in this clubhouse and friends, and a big part of it is that we hope that he goes down to AAA and kind of refines himself and get back to that status of being really good. So, and with that said, I'll take any questions you guys may have.
Just to clarify, has he accepted the assignment to AAA?
No, I mean, he said he was going to talk to his wife and he's going to talk to his agent, but he was very open and optimistic. And, the conversation was great. And he, you know, he talked about how much fun and how much family he feel like he has here. And so we feel optimistic that he's probably going to accept it.
All right, that's good, Chris. Yeah, cool. Cool story. Yeah, hey, Rafa. We're going to go ahead and release you, but hope you go to AAA. By the way, you got to clear waivers.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to take a flyer on him and take that assignment.
How about the fact that the money is still in the bank?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what if they come in here and say,
you can, what, 11 and a half a year?
Hey, B. Scott, look, man, we're going to pay you the same. We don't want you on 610 anymore. We want you to go do radio, and we want you to do something with our station in Beaumont.
Yeah.
Or like, you know what I mean? Like a lesser thing.
Yeah.
But you're going to get paid the same no matter what you do.
Oh, I am?
I'm going to say, you know what? Let me go talk to my family about this.
I'm very optimistic, by the way.
Then,
let me think about it.
And then I leave you on red. Like forever. Forever. The money is in the bank. What the hell is he talking about?
If he takes it, kudos to him. But I don't see that happening. I think someone's going to take him on waivers, or he's going to say, peace. Peace.
Dude.
Yeah.
You know what split screen I want or would have liked? I guess I can't get it now. I would have liked a split screen on any time you heard that back of the baseball card nonsense from either Bagwell or I think a spotter threw it out there once.
Yeah, he did.
If I could get the split screen of that and like Jeff Luhnow. You know, like Jeff Luhnow, who understood, and really just that whole regime understood the value of the analytics and how it just like the information goes so far beyond the back of the damn baseball card.
Yeah.
And how like basic of a statement that is. I wish I could have seen their faces. You know, just the whole Luno regime, just him and his guys and his folks in a room, like,
yeah,
analytically driven, smart as a whip, you know, changed the game in a lot of ways and how teams like actually do these things. And they hear a legend up there talking about the back of a baseball
card.
Come
on, man.
It's like, bro.
Come on.
Come on, bro. This is not how we gather information.
Hey, you know
these
who's starting
days.
Tomorrow, don't you?
Hey, let me ask y'all this.
Yeah, your guy.
Do y'all think the Kikuchi's going to be good tomorrow night?
Yo, it's going to be good.
It's the Rays.
The Rays are decent.
They're all right.
They're all right. So you say Kikuchi. Do I think the Kikuchi's going to be good tomorrow night?
Like when we come in here tomorrow,
yeah,
or I should say when we come in here next week, are we going to be like, man,
that was some good Kikuchi.
That was some good Kikuchi on Friday night.
Yeah.
Are we?
I don't know if there's any bad.
Lopez has lived a good life, bro. Lopez has lived a good life because I can tell you for sure.
Yeah, that there is.
Oh, yeah. There
hey,
he is for sure.
Let me tell you something about Yusei Kikuchi starting tomorrow night. It's just an observation. It's not that meaningful, but it's just an observation. None of this is his fault. I mean, I feel bad for the dude. Little mini confession here. I feel bad for him because it's Dana Brown. It's what they gave up. It's like not exactly what we were anticipating. None of it is his fault. Nevertheless, I'd kind of want to make my first start on the road. I'd kind of want to just to like establish yourself.
Well, especially if you pitch at Minute Maid Park.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
On a Friday, too.
On a Friday.
Ooh.
There will be fireworks.
Fireworks.
One way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll see if the Kikuchi's the reason why.
Yeah.
We'll see if the Kikuchi brings fireworks.
Yeah.
It will be fun. In the loop here. Game day. Speaking of which, this is about Andre Johnson. We are not going to lose sight of that. We'll give the man his flowers and relive some key Andre Johnson moments next here on In the Loop.